We'd like to acknowledge that we are working on the land of the Awabakal Nation, pay our respects to the elders, past and present. We also want to acknowledge God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yama, good evening. Hello, brothers and sisters. Lovely to have your company. This is Miriam of Life. I'm Auntie Donna. And just trust that you've had a wonderful start to this new week. And as we walk out this week in our faith, may we remain faithful and full of prayer and forgiving in our heart and showing brotherly and sisterly love in serving the community around us. Our first song for tonight by Roger Knox, Lord, help me to walk just one more mile.
Lord, help me to walk another mile, just one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone. And Lord, help me to smile another smile, just one more smile. I know that I can't make it on my own. Never thought I needed help before. I'm begging you, please help me. Come down from your glory throne to me, lonely me. I need the touch of your tender hand and break the chains of darkness and let me see, Lord, let me see just where I fit into your master plan. With a humble heart on bended knees, I'm begging you, please help me.
Well, here we are in the middle of September already, and as you've been hearing on Miriam of Life, we are focusing on Bada Yula, and this is a Bible League. And so all of September, we'll be playing these short messages of testimony and promoting this easy-to-read Bible and that we're wanting Newcastle to get behind and purchase a $20 Bible for our mob in rural communities, easy to read because English is their second language. And I've really been enjoying the little testimony. So tonight we'll play a few more And also, we'll have three testimonies from 40 stories. So tonight we'll be hearing from Patricia Curtis in Beswick in Northern Territory and Loretta George talking about forgiveness that sets you free. And there's another one called Don't Give Up Hope. So lots of beautiful, encouraging messages tonight. And we'll also have updates and there's some sorry business. So stay tuned. We've got a full program tonight.
Is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. Still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go
Here's Hilton Edwards and Gwen, a student at Noongalinya College.
I see a lot of young people coming to me and asking to help them, to support them in their life's journey.
Okay.
And how they can be able to understand the story of how they are looking at the story, whoever's reading that story to them. And when they come to me and they ask me, this is the story that I want you to explain to me or help me, of how I could be able to help myself in this situation.
Yeah.
In the Mark Gospel, there's a story that was came up into my mind.
Yeah.
It's like going through a storm when Jesus went across the Lake of Galilee. And I've explained that to some of the young people who came in and asked, they needed help in their problems. And I said to them that this is your storm. Every one of us going through those storms, and we need to ask Jesus, put your trust in the Lord. He will help you and guide you through that storm.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
That was Linda Randall and God on the Mountain. Well, I was talking to Sister Di Hardy in Brewarrina, and she says there's a funeral every week. It's so sad. We look around all our communities and so busy with laying people to rest. And we've had a few in Newcastle. So if your family is going through grief and loss and bereavement, praying for you and that you'll find the comfort of God. When you read the Bible, the Psalms, there's some beautiful comforting words there. Well, a week ago, I also attended a funeral of a beautiful godly woman, and I couldn't cry because she had lived her life walking and working for the Lord. And so it was truly a celebration of life, of her commitment and love for her Lord. And so our beautiful Elaine Carter from Brandy Hill Estate, I'd actually met Elaine and Pastor Dennis Carter at Bullaroo Baptist probably about 1984. All of our children were very young and an elderly congregation, and Elaine came with her four children and they were just young teenagers, and they brought so many teenagers into the church. At one time we had about 45, and what fun they were having on youth nights and also being taught in the Word. So to see the children grown up now and, you know, probably in their 40s and their own younger children was lovely. Was like the Baptist Hall of Fame held at Raymond Terrace Community Church. Just a beautiful honouring service. So I looked up some verses of scripture that truly applied to beautiful Elaine. Elaine was a great seamstress, a great cook. She was forever cooking. You know, Friday nights they'd have 30, 40 teenagers in the house, and that's a lot of food, you know, even for supper. And then as a pastor's wife, organising sandwiches and cake slices for wakes, let alone Sunday services. And she was forever cooking and sewing, making things craft. A great Bible teacher, Elaine, came out to a few of the Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship women's gatherings, and I took her to Peak Hill one time. We had a great trip and just talked about the Lord. It was wonderful. So these verses come to mind truly. So Elaine counted not her life dear to herself, so that she might finish her course with joy and the ministry which she'd received of the Lord. She was fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, in everything, doing everything heartily unto the Lord. And I know that she's received a crown of righteousness, and there's several crowns. So, yeah, what a life of testimony. So pray for Dennis and all the family. We have quite a lot of our mob in hospital. So to the families that are at John Hunter and Maitland and Belmont and the Mater Hospital, praying for those families, some tragic results of family violence. We also have heard about the loss of beautiful Auntie Mona Olson from South Australia, and you can hear one of her testimonies on the 40 Stories website. And grew up on a mission and a beautiful, gracious lady. I stayed with her back in probably 94, 95. And Auntie had been to Israel 3 times. She loved going over there and seeing the Bible come alive as she walked the streets where Jesus walked. And so we know that Auntie has gone on to glory. So love to all the Olsen family. Also to the Wetherill family, sending our love and prayers. And yeah, I know it's been a hard year for you too, and the loss of your uncle and brother Pammy. Thinking of you all. This next song is called Does Jesus Care? And I know we like the, you know, the fast boppy songs, but sometimes, you know, when our spirit is, you know, grieving, we need to hear a slower pace song. And I love the words in this song. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle that love that took me in his sweet embrace and made me what I am today, an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner
That was Does Jesus Care? And that's from one of the Gaithers, Give the World a Smile, their CD, and some sweet songs in the CD. And that was sung by Ben Isaac, Mark Lowry, Bill Gaither and Russ Taff. Well, let's hear one of our 40 story testimonies. And this is Forgiving, and it's shared by Patricia Curtis from Beswick, Northern Territory.
It's hard for people to forgive, you know, those that have taken, like, your family's life. My father is a Warramunga man from Tennant Creek. His homeland is around Walk Up and the marbles there. My mum, she's a Luriga woman from Popanya area. I was born in Tennant Creek. I grew up in Bear Mealy settlement, that's Buranga now. Didn't speak a word of English. I would speak Western Arda, and my friend would speak Creole to me, and she'd tell me, oh, what's this tree, or what's that grass, or, you know. I live in a community called Beswick. I was married into Ritanungu people and Rembaranga. And I had three children, two sons and a daughter. My oldest son used to work for the health, like Sunrise Health. He was training to become a health worker, Indigenous health worker. And my younger son was a supervisor for the CDP program in Beswick there. We used to go out, you know, on weekends, go to the Beswick waterfalls. My eldest son used to go for the big game, you know, like Barra and all that. My younger son, he loved hunting, going in the bush, killing bullock and all that. We used to go and do things as a family, you know. And I miss that. They were family men, you know. Loved their family. They found their wives in Beswick community. My older son had two daughters. My younger son had four daughters and a son, but the son had caught death. My older son, you know, injured in his head, concussion, couldn't lift himself up. We took him back home. That was Saturday night. The Sunday morning, we was having fellowship. People went there and checked on him, and they found him, he wasn't breathing. And they was doing CPR on him. 10 minutes later, the nurse told me, oh, we can't do anything now for him. He's passed away now. It became an investigation for the police. Like, I was numb. I didn't know what to do. A lot of people couldn't believe, you know, that he was gone. It really affected my last son, 2019. He ended up passing away too. There was a young girl that drove that vehicle. She was going over the limit. She lost control. My son was in the back without a seatbelt, and he got tossed around in the vehicle. A lot of family of mine was asking questions, why is this happening, you know, within our family, because this is 1 year apart. The first thing that the Lord spoke to me, you know, he said, do not pay back evil with evil, but pay back evil with good. And I kept that in my heart. But I told all my family, because they was angry. I said, no, I don't want payback, because payback will be going from generation to generation to generation, generation. It will never stop. I want forgiveness. And they couldn't understand, you know. I can't have any room in my heart for hate, because I serve a loving God and He loves us. I want to forgive. For my older son, I had to forgive a lot of people within the community, because there was a lot of witness that night he got hurt. But nobody didn't want to come up as witnesses to testify what really happened that night. I'm sitting here with a big question mark for my older son. But I just chose, you know, Lord, only you know what happened that night. I want to give this to you. I can't handle it on my own. And then next year, on top of that, another death of my second son. And it was hard, really hard for me. I had to find forgiveness towards that young girl. And when they did have a court case for her, I was talking to my lawyer, I want to write a letter. We forgive you. And I do forgive that young lady and her family. I'd rather forgive than hold on. You know, I questioned God. And I said, why, Lord, why? They were my only two sons. The answer was, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. One night, I just couldn't handle it, you know. I was crying and crying and crying. I chose to just hand it over to the Lord. He can take justice. He can handle it. And I lifted up my hands. Father God, I can't take it anymore, I said. Too much for me. Then I gave it all to Him. And then when I put my hands down, I just felt that peace of God come over me, you know? And that peace of God is still with me now. But through that grieving, you know, me and my family gave glory to the Lord. We danced to the music. It brings us a comfort in our heart. Praise and worship to the Lord, spiritual warfare weapon. Because when you're singing and dancing in the midst of grieving, you're overcoming that thing. Like that song we always sing, He turned my mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy, that we might become trees of righteousness. What you've done in your past life, in your present life, hard things that you can't handle, God is there for you and He will always forgive you. Just hand it all over to the Lord, because only He can handle it. Unforgiveness in your heart, it becomes a bitterness, it becomes a sickness. We know the devil comes to kill, steal and destroy. But the Lord has come to give us life, life and abundance.
Big shout out to the Common Grace staff and our brothers and sisters who came up to Bellaire Baptist last week and just sharing with us the wonderful work. Go on their website, check it all out. So I have been receiving emails from Gershwin, but that's the first time I met him, and the information and the knowledge he's gotten, you know, using that to inform the kingdom of God and speaking to churches, and so passionate about justice. I loved it. It was a word in season for me. You know, the Bible says a word fitly spoken, a word spoken at the right time, is like gold apples in a setting of silver. And so it was a very encouraging word, Gershon. Love to have you on Rema, on Miriam of Life very soon. So go on the website. There is Let Justice Flow, the 2025 conference, the 1st to 3rd of November, held on Ngunnawal country in Canberra. So that's going to be very informative, taking a delegation to into Parliament House and meeting the politicians. And the elders group at Toronto paint leaves. They paint dots and Aboriginal art onto gum leaves. So we're going to take down a basket full of leaves to give one to each politician. Just beautiful. Also on the Common Grace website, information about Make Your Church Safer. Together we can build communities where safety is sacred. Envisioning a world where all people are free from domestic and family violence in every relationship. A resource to understand, identify and respond to domestic and family violence. Check out their website. Another upcoming event is the New South Wales Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship Family Camp 2025, and it's the theme is Better Together. And this will be held on the long weekend, Condobolin SRA Showground. That's the 3rd to 6th of October. There will be a children and youth ministry program included. They do great work with the children. Just love it. So it's at Condobolin SRA Pavilion, Diggers Avenue, Condobolin. And the speaker, Jum Naden, the AEF Federal Council member, Tamworth, New South Wales, the theme Better Together, and there's a weekend registration. Supported by the Lachlan Shire Council, Bible Society, Bush Church Aid, and the AEF. It's so wonderful to see the younger people coming through and up there preaching, just like his dad, Neville Naden. Hello, Brother Neville and Kathy. Love your work. Been faithful to the Lord over 40 years. That's great. Also on the long weekend up in Queensland, Toowoomba, the Glory to Glory Prophetic Voices of the Land Conference. And it'll be held at Rangeville Community Church, Toowoomba. And some great speakers there. That will be fantastic. And prophetic pastor Ada Boland, of course, our dearly beloved pastor Robin Green will be there, and there's a range of other speakers. It's a time for worship, to pray, to seek the Lord, and plan and fellowship. Wonder what you're doing. I know some of you will be going to the football knockout, so have a safe journey. And I know that those gatherings of football, it's not just about football. It is about connecting with community, walking on country, you know, visiting the elders from the community in which who's holding it. And so safe journeys, everybody. And yeah, we'll pray for you. You pray for us.
Here's Hilton Edwards and James Woods, a lecturer at Noongalinga College.
I saw this two young couple. They were like coming into faith and wanted to build their faith and that relationship with God.
Mm.
So as the years going past, you know, I can see them growing in faith. And one day I saw this young fella and the partner, they're no longer the person that they came before. They were up there speaking about God. And what God did in their life. Yeah.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room
When Michael got released from prison, you know, coming out from prison, sometimes it's very hard to find a job. And we sent out all his resumes and waiting, still no response. So I started to doubt and stress. And then one night, I couldn't go to sleep. And then I just heard this soft, like a cold breath, behind my ears saying, "Why are you worrying? I've got this. You can go to sleep." And then I opened my eyes, I looked around, I'm like, no, everybody's asleep. And then next morning, I come to work, and then I got a phone call. Michael got a job. Then I rang up my daughter, I'm like, "God is good." And she said, "All the time." And she said, "What good news you got?" I said, "Dad's got a job." Like, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes you just gotta humble yourself and be patient and trust Him. My name is Delphine, but I'd like to be called Del. I'm a Torres Strait Islander from an island 3 kilometres off Papua New Guinea called Saibai. Our great-great-grandfathers, they made a move to the mainland of Australia at the tip of Cape York. They thought of the future generation will get that shortage of water and food. Well, I was born in Cairns, and then we went back to a community up in Cape York called Bamaga. It's surrounded by 5 other communities, very close-knit. Everybody knows everybody. And we stayed there for about 2 years. Then Dad got a job in the railway. We went down to Brisbane. When Mum's dad got sick, we moved back up to Bamaga in 1985, and I finished off my high school years. Yeah, I'm the only daughter. I have no other siblings. I've got a daughter of my own as well. My mum, my dad and myself are very, very close. In 2002, we decided to come over for a school holiday. And we came over for 2 weeks here in Darwin. I said to my husband, "When are we going back?" And he said, "Christmas." I said, "Okay, I'll let work know." And December rolled over to the following year in 2003, and we kept on counting all the school holidays. And we're still here. Used to go to Sunday school with my parents, but I didn't really know Jesus at that time. I just wanted to go to Sunday school to do all the fun things. When our move to Darwin in 2002, I wanted to get closer to God, and I started working at Nungalinya College in 2006, and just working here, I got closer to God and I wanted more of Him. And then in 2015, something happened. Yeah, something happened in our life, you know, in me and my partner's life. And he got sentenced, but he only got sentenced for 6 months. But those 6 months were very long 6 months. The staff and the students at Nungalinya, they were my family, because my family pushed me away, my mother's side and my father's side. So that was a very, very big challenge. I was running out of hope. All I was doing was just crying and asking the Lord, like, "Where are you when I need you?" Yeah, I just got closer, more closer to God, and I learned to trust Him. He's changed our lives dramatically. We know now how to love Jesus from our heart, not just from the tip of our lips. Forgiveness was a really hard thing. I held on to that, what happened to us. I was holding on to it. But the more I got closer to God, I learned how to let go and have peace in my heart. It's no use holding on to bitterness and things like that, because it just drags you, puts weight on you. You just can't move forward. Learn how to read the Bible every day, and that's something new, whereas before it was just books and TV and things like that. But it's emotional every day for me. You know, you get to more closer and closer to God and how He changes your life around, and we're happy the way we are living today with Christ in our life. Yeah. There was an ad in the paper back in 2006. I love cooking. So I started here as a kitchen hand. I always pray and ask Lord, if you want me to go, I will move on from here wherever you want me to go. If you want me to stay, I will stay. The staff and students here at Nungalinya, oh, they're just like a family to me. Through my toughest times, they have been there for me. The students here from all different backgrounds, different communities, I've also learned a lot from them as well. We've had fellowships at my place. I cook up big feed and invite students over. Sometimes staff come along as well, and we all eat together and fellowship and sing and testimonies. They're just like a family to me. Ago we went fishing out on a boat and big storm rolling in, black clouds, and I said to my husband, oh, that's gonna be like a rough one, how about you pull up on the side of the mangroves and wait first? And he said, no, like, we're going fishing, otherwise we're gonna miss this tide. And as we were getting closer and closer to that, them dark clouds, you know how Moses been split the water, that's what happened to us. Like, we went in between these dark clouds, rain on the other side, rain on the other side, and we went straight down the middle and didn't get wet. Yeah, it's amazing how God works in your life and changes your life. Before, becoming a Christian, I didn't know how to trust the Lord. It was just, you know, believing in all witchcraft and things like that. Because of the situation that what we went through a couple of years ago, like, I almost gave up hope. I was going to do something that wasn't in my character. Learned how to trust the Lord and be hopeful of Him. Forgiveness is a really, really big thing. When you forgive someone, you forgive it from the deep down inside your heart, and you feel that weight being lifted off. You just feel peace. Learn to love your enemies, whereas before you hold on to that grudge and you hold on to your enemies and keep on carrying on, but it's not like that anymore. Underwater baptism back in 2016, that also was a beautiful experience too, you know, just coming up from that water. You can feel that weight being lifted off your shoulders and just all the bad things left behind. We try not to dwell in the past because, you know, we walk forward with Jesus every day, and He's always before us, beside us and behind us. Yeah.
Big shout out to our brothers in Cessnock, St. Helier's and Frank Baxter, and any of the brothers that have been released and you're back at home, and pray that you'll settle in to that routine of being home and dad and, yeah, working in the community. God bless you. Let me pray for our community. Father in heaven, you were the Word in the beginning, and your Spirit hovered over the earth. You spoke and the gum tree grew. Your Spirit hovered over our missions and the outcasts, the homeless, the lonely, the sick. You called us by name. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and of His power and the wonders He has done. We declare the spirit of adoption over our families, communities, churches, and this city. We are humbled that you chose us, that you use us. Thank you for making us a blessing to bless others. All we can do is bow our head in humble adoration and proclaim, my God, how great thou art. We marvel you call us into fellowship, kinship. We know we are standing on God's ancient timeline, exactly where you want us to be, Father God, right now for our community. Father, the burden for our communities gets heavy. Lord, bind incarceration, black death in custody, intergenerational trauma, grief and loss. Lord, bring healing, divine healing. We declare your authority, power, and lordship and faithfulness. A God without injustice, a God full of justice. Father, you will judge what is just and right. I pray for our people to know that they can have an intergenerational love with our ancestor Jesus. For in him we find our identity, belonging, and in him we live and move and have our being. Thank you for your presence right now, Lord, in our home or workspace or even in the car for traveling. I pray your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Here's Hilton Edwards and Olivia from Wycliffe Bible Translators.
Yep, so it was, yeah, quite cool to start seeing it in chapel and in class and see the students using words that they use day to day, but see it in the Bible as well. And rather than using big words like Pharisees or chief priests or things like that, there were actually words that are relevant to their day-to-day life. So yeah, we were using it to read through the Bible. Maybe we'd even do some language activities using the Bible as well, but it was language that was relevant, not complex.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12 verse 2.
My partner, who was living in Mangara 10 years, he was drinking too much grog and smoking too much ganja. And that's when he had a big fall. We had to rush to Darwin Hospital. I told my family to pray for my husband. I went to the chapel in Darwin Hospital and prayed and cried, Lord, bring my husband back. And my daughter was only 5 years old when he left us. When he was in ICU, he eventually died. He said he was in this dark place where he didn't like being there. He felt this heat and he had people crying and yelling and singing out for help.
Calling, Ray, Ray, help us, but I didn't want to turn back, see? I wanted to go straight ahead, see? I'm walking, everybody there grabbing me by my shirt and everybody grabbing me, you know, to stop it there. But I said, no, I want to go straight to that little light. I seen a little light there.
When we was praying, this light just shine in this dark place. As he was walking, he saw this light and he found Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He didn't know who this Jesus was. He reached that light just like a vacuum, right? Just swallowed him back and made him go back to his normal body. They were pushing him back to the morgue. He was in that body bag and ready to be in the cooler.
When I walked up that body bag, I was moving around. I tried to open the safe. I said, somebody opened the safe, so I'll come outside. I was breathing, you know. I wanted to come out of the body bag. You get me out of the body bag? One nurse heard me, and then he's awake. And then they opened the safe open, and then I got up.
That's when God answered our prayer and brought my husband back to life.
He's alive. They said, he's alive. Put him in that thing. And they put me in that machine. To make me breathe good way. Yeah.
And now he's really gentle, you know, and God uses him to witness to other men too in our community.
I'll follow the Lord. I'll keep on following the Lord. I won't turn this way or that way. I'll just go straight ahead.
I thank God because only God can do that when we pray and we seek him, you know.
But I was a heavy drinker and a heavy smoker. I smoke a lot of ganja and smoke beer. I just now can't do that anymore. I'm going straight to the Lord, straight ahead.
Originally come from Nuka. My grandfather, grandmother, and mother and father are from Nuka. From the 80s, I've been living with my partner in Beswick. I have three brothers and one sister. My kids, I got three boys and one girl and five grandchildren. And I got one adopted daughter. But also I've been like a mother and a grandmother looking after kids who have no mother and father. Be their mom, be their grandmother, be their auntie, you know. I used to work as a senior health worker in Beswick, and now I work as an assistant teacher and a sport and rec. And I play keyboard, I sing, I lead the church, and sometimes I just see women come to me or women with babies or their partner, and they just say, can you come and pray for my family, like who's sick? And I do sometimes go to their camp, or sometimes I just pray from my camp. And then I ask the person the next day, your husband or your baby are all right? And they say, yeah, that's through the prayer, you know, because prayer is powerful. And I'm happy, you know, what God is doing in my life. Jesus changed my life by hearing the elders and learning from them when they teach Ari Sunday School, or Michael Gumbly, and some of the elders planted that seed inside of me, the Word of God, how to know who this Jesus was in our life. But I didn't really have him in my heart. You know, the Holy Spirit teach me to learn more, you know, and teach me how to accept this person in my life here. Yeah. And I did find Jesus here. Without him, I wouldn't be here today. I've been through many sorrows, like my mom, my eldest brother, my younger sister, my youngest brother. They've all been just taken away. And I haven't got a reason why they're all gone. Only God knows. But through all my sadness, I just kept asking God, you know, to bring peace, bring love and bring joy, and he never leaves me nor forsake me. A scripture verse always come to me in Psalms 23. God is saying, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to that quiet place and I go and relax, because that's where I can hear the bird, I can see the river, the flowers. I can't hardly describe how much God really loves us. So I'm is thankful and grateful to the one here. When my father died, my mom, she abandoned me and my little sister. That's when we left, without a mother, without a father. It's my eldest brother. I was only 10, I think 10 years old, and my sister was 6 or 5. I felt this hurt when I was growing up, you know, when I was older with my own kids. Grew up without knowing who their grandmother was, only father's side. It was hard for me. I was praying and asking God, you know, where's my mom? You show me. You know, God was leading me back to Beswick. She was praying too, you know, like light was showing him a road to go to Beswick. And that's where I was at that time when she was praying. And searching many years, you know, I couldn't find him till God brought her back. I was happy, but not really, because I still had anger, bitterness. Only the outside appearance, I had that love and smile, but inside I didn't have that real love for my mom, you know, because she left me and she's supposed to be there for me, you know, and my little sister and my brother. I didn't really know the meaning of forgiveness. I didn't really know about the meaning of love. But the Lord speaking to me, pray for your mom and forgive her. Do it in action. So I had to take the first step and say, Mommy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you leaving me and for me hating you. I didn't want you back in my life, but God is telling me to say sorry and forgive. And then she turned around and said the same thing. Forgive me for not being there for you and your sister. I was out drinking and drowning my sorrow, but now I'm here. God brought us together to forgive one another and to share that burden. And I was really happy and released. When she gave her heart to the Lord, she used to get up and dance. Even though she was sick, she would get up and dance and praise God. She became a well-known artist. She won 4 Telstra Awards. God just brought all these amazing things to her life, and both of us were connected through God's ways. My youngest daughter was the carer for my mother when she got sick. She poured out her love and cried for her when she passed away. God is a good God. Whenever we get hurt, we get blamed, sadness, we can have that sorrow. And we don't want to forgive that person, but deep inside what God is really telling us to show that love and forgiveness, you're releasing that person, you're releasing yourself from all that burden. Because if you don't forgive, you will be carrying that burden for the rest of your life. Love covers a multitude of sin. And when we forgive, you know, God releases that forgiveness upon yourself and upon the enemy that we have. It sets you free and it sets your enemy free. Yeah. God is love.
Change this world again, because it's full of pain and war and shame. God is calling you from the door of mercy. Come on in. God's gonna change this world. God's gonna change this world again, because it's full of pain and war and shame. God is calling you from the door of mercy. Come on in. God's gonna change.
Thank you to Peter Barlow for production. And remember, brothers and sisters, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes off worthless things. And as Auntie would say from Beswick, be proper Christian, be working proper godly way. We love you and God loves you, and make God's word the light for your path. Till next week, God bless. Nanda Kumba Kumba. Goodbye for now.